The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bel Air, the official podcast, is produced by iHeart Podcast Network and Peacock.
Once again, we are back with episode 7 of Bel Air, the official podcast. I am DJ Jazzy Jeff.
And I'm Crystal West. It's good to be here again with you, Jeff. We just watched the 9th episode of Bel Air. And brother, we had some twists and turns I was not anticipating. Wow. Okay.
I did not expect to have my box of tissues ready, but I had my box of tissues ready.
Okay, there was a lot going on.
This is really one of the best shows I've ever seen on television.
You know what?
This was amazing.
I have to agree, if only because, first of all, we're taking an existing concept, flipping it on its head, making it into a drama, and then we're exploring all these characters so much deeper, so we get a much richer story than we would have originally, because we're going so deep into who these people are individually. We got to see Jeffrey stick up for himself. We got to see Phil decide what matters most between family and career. There was just a lot going on. We are so, so excited to get into it. I just have to say, like, first of all, first and foremost, Viv's interview for the fellowship, brother.
Yes, I love it. That was the first tearjerker.
Was that not incredible? Yes. Daphne Maxwell Reed, who played, you know, light skinned Aunt Viv on the original show, and then Vernon Watson Johnson, who played Vi in the original.
You weren't expecting to see the likes of us, were you?
No. Well, it's usually white men sitting in those chairs.
And it's usually a 25-year-old sitting in yours.
Yeah, well, I guess a lot of things changed in the art world since I left.
And I suppose both changes represent progress.
Indeed. Shall we begin?
And Helen here. So what was it like for you to see your old castmates in these scenes?
Listen, I was sitting there looking and I said, oh my God, this is the remix. You're basically remixing The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Bel-Air. This is amazing. I thought that was genius. When Viv walked into the room and they were just sitting there, I said, oh my God, how genius was that?
Yeah, hard same.
That was great.
I really could not believe it. You know, as somebody who was a kid when this show first came out, I was just like, oh my God, these are the women I've looked up to all my life, you know? They've meant so much to me. And to see them on this show, it just meant everything on top of an episode that was so defining for the family. So much, I feel, was solidified and so much was clarified throughout the episode. Carlton's love for Will and vice versa, the family overall, and their goal in like bonding and really being a unified, solid, cohesive family.
I just love the way that Jeffrey stuck up for what's right.
Yes!
He stuck up for what's right. And he confronted
I'm so glad you brought
Phil.
It up.
He was just like, listen, I just need to let you know that if you keep going down this path, you are going to tear your family apart.
Oh, come on, man. You keep going on about me being an employee, but because I love you and your family, I just can't keep my mouth shut, even if it is my job.
By all means, don't stop now.
All right? Your wife's dream drowned underneath yours. Your son didn't even get a chance to develop his dream because he's just an extension of yours. Your daughter...
Hey! You're treading on very dangerous territory, my friend.
All right, Fred Wilkes. He's a flawed man, but he's also a good man. And you are going to destroy him because when push comes to shove, you always do what it takes, even at the expense of the people who love you.
And I was just like,
right.
How much courage did it have for him to say that not only to his boss, but to his friend?
Right. There's not too many people who will stick up for themselves in that way and put their job Mm-mm. and their friendship Mm-mm. on the line and say, brother, I hope you prove me wrong. But based off what yes. I know about you, this is what you about yeah. to do. And it's some bullshit. And I just want you to be better than that.
When he hugged him and said, prove me wrong.
Yes.
Phil,
said, yes.
Where's the tissue? Where's the tissue?
Jeff, I was literally shedding tears. I was like, yo, how y'all gonna do this to me?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, it was just such an incredible episode and really has me wondering what we're going to see next week.
But, you know, today we're going to be talking about themes of LGBTQA, identify and coming into your own. And we have mm-hmm. to talk about that theme for a bit. You know, we really see this show exploring, you know, the LGBTQA issues throughout the character of Ashley. Like, and that got me, like, you know, I thought it was a big step to tackle these issues, but to tackle them through Ashley was mind blowing.
What was it? Because I felt like Gen Z is definitely the one you're going to do that with.
Yeah, you know what? You are absolutely right.
Gen Z, they care about everything.
Right. I'm showing my age. Yes, they do.
They care about everything. And Ashley was like, yo, not only do I care about human rights, I care about the environment, and I care about voting, and I care about the planet. Like, Ashley is, you know, she cares deeply about everything. But you're right.
Everything.
We watch her. Yeah, she doesn't just explore her own sexuality, but she also, you know, she branches out into different ways of how she can present her sexual identity to the world. You know, she's really getting the space and the support to do that from Hillary, who is the one person she shared
yeah,
that with
yeah.
so far. But, you know, we also saw in this episode that she doesn't really feel like sharing it with her mother is the safest or the best idea yet. And you can really see Viv, who obviously knows
something.
Yeah, she knows
yeah, she
what's
knows
going
something.
On. Right. Yeah. But she can't really, you know, she doesn't feel like she can speak up about it or come out to her mother, even though her mother knows. So we see her, you know, struggling through that very real relationship. And I think it shows just how even kids who have parents who would be supportive don't necessarily feel safe in coming out.
Yeah.
So I'm appreciative of the yeah. Ashley character for reflecting that reality.
Yeah, especially because she's speaking about it in public, but not to her mom. Like, she went and
right.
asked the reverend at church and not her
yes.
mom. So I was just like, okay. She felt that more comfortable in going to the reverend in the church to just find out his opinion.
Yeah, and you know what I thought was so interesting about that is that Ashley was very willing to talk to the reverend about it at church. But, when, you know, if you notice, he gave her a very, like, general yeah. response. Like, oh, we'll look into
he
that.
Gave
thank
her the
you,
reverend
young lady.
Response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ashley
yeah.
was like, okay, thank yeah. you. You know, like, because she's 12. And so she thinks that's a good
yeah.
thing. But he definitely gave her a very like, girl, we'll call you back. Like, Like, it was a very, you know, average sort of blah, get out of our face.
Brush up. Yes, yes. Not right now. I need to hear Carlton sing.
Exactly that. Exactly that. He was focused on Carlton. He was focused on what Uncle Phil was finna do. He was not thinking about Ashley and her gaze, okay? That was not on his agenda. Yes. So we definitely see Ashley coming into her own in that way. And we also see Aunt Viv coming into her own. Like I said, this interview with light-skinned Aunt Viv and the original Aunt Vi was incredible. I was struck by her speech during this fellowship interview. Can you just tell me how you felt about it watching that scene?
Well, I think what I really appreciated is she paused for a second because she realized that she had the answer that she would always normally give. And then she decided to tell the truth. And I really appreciated that because she was like, no, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to say. This is what I've always said, but it's really this. And I think that really resonated. You know, them saying that she was already chosen before she even walked into the office, that they were going to offer her, you know, this grant. But, you know, her saying those words just really solidified it.
She wasn't expecting them to be like, oh, we're offering you the job, girl. We just wanted to see you in person. And we know you wasn't expecting two black women, but here we are anyway. You know,
exactly.
She wasn't expecting that in the least. And so to see Aunt Viv come to the place where she can say, you know, I just want my work to resonate in the world without me having to define it. I just want to work. I just want it to shine. You know, I felt like that was such a huge moment for her. And even with, you know, Ashley and with Carlton, you know, breaking down in front of Will and talking about his anxiety and stuff like that, mental health issues, sexuality issues, these were not really addressed in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that aired back in the 90s. So can you tell me a little bit about what it's like for you, you know, as an original cast member watching the show tackling these issues? Because it definitely did get into like police brutality, racism, stuff like that, but it didn't go quite here. So this version really tackles them head on, and I would love to get your perspective on that.
Well, I also think that it's timing. I think this is the perfect time to really address those issues. And things were a little bit more tense, you know, in the 90s. You know, they wanted to keep the show very lighthearted and fun and funny and, you know, but also tackle issues. And I think them flipping this show more on a dramatic side kind of allows us to address these issues in a more realistic way, you know. And that was the thing, you know, I'm watching these episodes and I'm asking myself, I'm not sure if I've ever seen something on television that addressed things this real. Like, these are real. These are real problems. These are real issues. We all know people like every one of these characters, you know. I really think that they're doing a masterful job of taking what was done in the 90s and moving it forward.
I agree, especially because we see these characters that so many of us grew up with or had as a presence in our 20s and our formative years, where it's like, you know this family, you know the Banks, you know Will Smith who moved out to Bel Air after he got in one little fight and his mom got scared. You know that, you know these people. So to see them evolve from, you know, just surface level conversations and get into the characters' real profiles, to get into things that really affect the family individually, to explore all of them, including, you know, the characters who are kind of on the outskirts, and to get really into how they feel about things. I just feel like this iteration of Bel Air completely, I'm so impressed with the way they have covered these issues and updated the story of the Fresh Prince for a modern era. Because things are not the same. You know, it wasn't no cell phones and social media when you and Will was on set.
No. I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't have a BlackBerry. I didn't have a cell phone. I don't even think I had a home phone.
Wasn't no Instagram when y'all was doing this back in the day.
No, not at all.
So I love what they're doing with the show, and I cannot wait to talk to today's guests about these themes. Today, we have the honor of talking to Akira Akbar, who plays Ashley Banks, and Rashid Newsom, who is one of the show's co-showrunners. Akira is a 15-year-old actor who has been seen in the TV show Family Reunion and the films We Are Heroes and Captain Mar-Vell. Before becoming an actor, she was a child model and a ballet dancer. Rashid is a writer, producer, and novelist. He has written for and produced such shows as The 100, Army Wives, Shooter, and The Chi. He has been working with his writing partner, Bella's other showrunner, TJ Brady, since 2008.
I am so excited to talk to Akira and Rashid and get their take on a bunch of things, but especially the new addition to Ashley's character.
So here it is, our conversation with Akira and Rashid. Rashid, I want to start with you. Giving the Ashley character a queer storyline is definitely an update from the original Fresh Prince. Why did you decide to make one of the characters a member of the LGBTQA plus community? And why Ashley for
like
this
four
storyline?
Young people in this house. And so there was a feeling that somebody should represent the LGBTQ plus community, that reality would sort of suggest that would happen. We liked it for Ashley in part because the character's 12. We think of this as a story about her sexual identity with a focus on the identity. This isn't about her trying to have sex or being sexual. She's not interested in that. That's not where it's going. But she's having feelings she has to recognize and deal with. And so that speaks to her identity. And of all the sort of LGBTQ stories we've seen on television, we haven't seen it really start with someone this young. And we haven't seen this part of the process where they're just questioning. Oftentimes, when it comes to a story like this, it's when the person does have a sexual attraction and they want to express that sexual attraction. But these feelings start way before you get to that point.
So to follow up on that, why do you think it's possible for us to explore a queer storyline now in a 2022 era, modern era, as opposed to back in the 90s? With the Ashley character or without, you know, it's just not something we saw at all with any character from, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air of the 90s. So why do you think things have progressed to the point where it feels safe to
I think representation on a lot of fronts has gotten better, whether it deals with race, religion, or sexuality. I think on all those fronts, we feel like we understand that it's important to have representation and to tell those stories. I also think now people, especially watching television, it almost feels dishonest to not have them. I'm always sort of amazed. I mean, we've gotten some negative feedback about this storyline that was expected, but it always sort of amazes me that people want to twist the idea of acknowledging a group of people as being part of some sort of sinister agenda. There are people who are LGBTQ in this world, and the show should reflect that. That one of the showrunners happens to be gay also probably brings it to the forefront as well when you're in the writer's room.
Rashid, we spoke earlier and you talked about how working on Bel-Air, because of the makeup of the director, the writers, the actors, you didn't really have to explain certain things that are inherently the Black experience. Has that been the case with expressing the LGBTQ plus experience as well?
No, because there aren't as many people in the LGBTQ as part of this conversation. We had to talk about this in terms of just Ashley and where we started this story, because I think the natural urge for most people would be, well, you start the story when she wants to come out and tell her parents. And I was explaining, well, wait a minute, there are often years between when you might recognize that you are gay and when you tell somebody that you have these feelings. I also pointed out that most people don't tell the authority figures in their life. They tell a friend. They tell an older sibling. So that's how we got to Hillary. So no, there was a lot of explaining I had to do, but I was happy to do it because I wanted this story.
And why would Ashley choose Hillary of all people in the family to open up to?
In terms of why she chose Hillary, I think she chooses Hillary because Hillary is sort of the most expressive liberal. I'd imagine that Hillary has several friends in the LGBTQ community.
Probably.
Who she's brought
yeah.
to the house and hangs
yeah,
out with me.
Yeah.
I think Hillary, you know, Hillary is probably very connected to that community and has fans there and friends there. I do think the story was important, especially in when it comes to, like, the Black community, because while a lot of us are very accepting and understanding on this issue, the Black community as a whole has some problems. There's a lot of, like, latent homophobia that's there. So just to drop a few numbers, I won't get too statistical, but I just looked at this, and it's the 2019 Black and African American Youth Report from the Human Rights Campaign. They did a survey of 1,600 queer Black kids across the country. 47% of them have been taunted or mocked by their own family for being LGBTQ. 77% have heard family members say negative things about LGBTQ people. So we got a lot of work to do. So that's, I mean, I think this story needed to be important. I thought it was great doing with Ashley because she's already beloved. You know, she's already somebody you know and you have feelings for. And so to say that she's questioning her sexuality, it makes it a little real for people.
I get that. And Akira, I would like to open that question up to you. Why do you think your character Ashley chose Hillary to open up to, but, you know, not her own mother? Does she think that Viv won't support her or understand her? What's her trepidation there?
I mean, I still think Ashley is still trying to figure herself out. You know, I can't speak for other people, but I do feel like it's probably harder to tell people when you don't fully know. Yeah. And so I think she told Hillary because she wanted to tell somebody, but her and Hillary had this connection where they could just tell each other things and they give each other advice. And so Hillary is like her probably go-to.
I mean, I can see that because Hillary was very calm and supportive. You know, she doesn't make a big deal out of Ashley revealing this, whereas Viv was like a lot more like, hey, baby, let me talk to you. What's going on? You know, if there's anything gay in your life, you can tell me about it, you know.
So what's up then?
Yeah, I was just noticing that you've gone from promoting climate change to championing LGBTQ causes, and I was just checking in about that.
Civil rights and climate change are both very vital social issues.
I agree.
And I haven't traded one for the other. I'm just advocating on multiple fronts.
I get that. In fact, I love it. I was just wondering if there's a reason why gay rights has become more important to you.
Seriously? I mean, the real question is, why aren't the human rights of any social group at the top of everyone's concerns?
Of course. I mean, that's why your father and I donated to marriage equality.
Commendable. Although those issues have advanced beyond that.
Listen, I just want you to know that you can talk to me about these issues or other issues. I mean, whatever's on your mind. Okay?
Okay. Thanks.
It was very secretive.
I also feel like she just doesn't think her mom would understand her as much as Hillary did.
Yeah, I can see that because she, you know, when she was on the phone with Janice, she was saying that Ashley was walking around hiding secrets because she thinks she can't handle it. So I think that, you know, maybe through their different reactions, the Ashley character is looking to portray different things. What do you think you're trying to portray through those two different characters?
I think the message Ashley's trying to send is that don't be afraid to speak your truth and tell people. I mean, even if it's not your parents right away, because I feel like that's not the people you would go to the first time, like, you come out. Like, it's your parents.
Probably
I feel like
not.
You would probably just go to your siblings because they're the most supportive. So, yeah, I think Ashley's just telling people to don't be afraid to speak your truth.
I have a question for you, Akira. Can you share what it was like when you got the call that you were cast for this role, especially as the iconic Ashley? What was your reaction?
Oh my, I was so excited. Like, my mom, she picked me up from school and then she told me to call my manager. And at first I was thinking like, oh my gosh, am I in trouble? Like, what happened? And so when I called her, she was like, how do you feel to be the next Ashley Banks? I was like, stop playing with me. Like, you're lying. This is so crazy. Like, I just think I was like literally beyond excited. And the first thing I thought about was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to portray her. I can't wait to start filming. And so when I started filming, I was, it's been crazy ever since.
Yeah, I can imagine, because you are only 15 years old. You're definitely coming into your own yourself as a young woman, much less as portraying this character. Can you speak a little bit to how you and Ashley maybe, or how those things collide in similar ways, or how they differ with causes around human rights and the environment, things that Ashley is really passionate about? Can you talk to us a little bit about how you come into your own as someone who is part of Gen Z, and these causes are super important to you as a very young person?
I think mental health is really important. There's some people in my family where, you know, they struggle with mental health, and I really want to help people in that way. And I think Ashley is the exact same. She's always there to listen to people and help them with their problems. And I mean, we're just similar in that way. And I think we kind of love people in the same way. We really love our family and want the best for them.
So the show overall is very outspoken, like I said, about certain social causes. Do you think that the show has a responsibility to these causes like climate change and sexual identity and the rights that go along with that, LGBTQIA, especially trans viewers? What do you hope viewers take away from the explorations that the show dives into?
I think we do have a responsibility to touch on those issues. I mean, there's doing it for goodness sake, but also I think you've got to do it so the show feels authentic. That's the world we're in. Those are the conversations people are having, and then you want to be able to reflect that through the show. I hope we do stir a conversation. I hope people sort of just take another look at these. When I look at the Ashley storyline, I've thought about what I want the audience to feel, or what I want people in Ashley's position to feel, and it's actually what I'm hoping for is, if you're a young person and you're questioning your sexuality and you're trying to figure out who you can go to, I hope this scene is a litmus test. I hope when the people you're around watch it, and if they have something negative to say about it, you know that's not the person for you. And I think that was a really sweet scene.
Real.
Maybe it's this is your opening. Maybe you found your safe harbor. So I would love I hope the scene does that.
I agree. I mean, I went on Twitter and I saw people talking about like how the scene inspired them, and they get to see themselves on screen. And that's I really enjoyed that. I think that's what's really important too.
Yeah, I agree. It's important for people to see themselves. Representation is super vital. And keeping with the theme of coming into your own, we see a lot of characters in this episode stepping in a direction we may not have seen for them before. Ashley and her mother having this uncomfortable conversation. Carlton opening up to Will about his anxiety and his struggles with that. And of course, obviously, Phil deciding to step away from the DA race so that Viv can pursue her passion and he can take a step back and take care of the family.
Today, I'm withdrawing from the race to be the next district attorney. I need to be a dependable husband and father more than I need to be district attorney. And because I'm no longer seeking public office, I'm asking that the press respect the privacy that my family and I cherish and deserve.
I would love to hear from you, Rashid and Akira, if you have anything to say about what this means for these characters who previously have been focused on family as much as it means pleasing the dad, pleasing the patriarch and what his goals and dreams are, as opposed to doing what's best for everyone.
Well, oddly this episode was sort of a coming out episode for a lot of people, even though Ashley doesn't come out to her mother. And that's the thing with a lot of these social issues. Anything that makes us different, anything we might be struggling with, when you share it with another person, you're coming out. When Carlton tells Will about his anxiety and talks about his mental health issues, that's coming out. Because you're trusting somebody with information about you that is sensitive and dear to you. And we loved playing that. When Phil steps down, what he's recognizing in part is that Viv needs the room to be who she is. And that can only happen if he does step back. And so it's a big act of love. I mean, we talked about in the room of just trying to make it clear that, yes, he does it to protect Will. He does it maybe to protect himself. But ultimately, he does it so that his wife can have the life she deserves and express herself the way she needs to. She can embrace her identity.
Yeah, because she has given up so much.
Yeah, she's done it for him.
And there, and there's, and you know, that's the, I mean, I'm married. One of the things in marriage is like, there has to be some give and take. You know, everybody, you know, you can't always stand in the sun. But in a good marriage, everybody gets enough. You know, you let people have their time. And I think it was important to show that across the season, really.
Rashid, I have a question. What kind of direction do you guys give Akira for scenes where Ashley is kind of questioning, you know, where she's at, what direction she's going, when that's the focal point?
What we normally start with is we want to see what Akira does naturally. And then you might come in with a suggestion or say, because you want to see what the actors bring. And oftentimes they'll find a moment you didn't even plan for, but you go, well, that's gold. So how do we
get more of that? Work that in there.
And that also happens. It happens a lot with humor. It also happens a lot with pathos. And so there are times where they bring an intensity to it. I don't remember. I mean, I was there for a lot of these scenes. I don't remember having to have many notes for Akira. I thought she was great. What we were looking for in the audition is what she has delivered on screen, which is that it's just very natural and it just sort of it emanates from her, which makes it very easy. You know, you just sort of let her go, let her do her thing.
I was going to say, I think that radiates through for the viewers because this Ashley character, you know, she's very sweet, innocent, fun, easy to love, just like the Ashley of the 90s. And yet, just like I've said before to Jeff and on previous episodes of the podcast, we get to dive so much deeper into Ashley as a person than we ever got to in the original version of Fresh Prince. And so I really love that the show is taking these risks and delving into these areas where we've not explored before.
I mean, we felt we had to. I mean, there's, you know, when you're a reboot, you sort of have to justify your existence. The original show, we've got the original show. So what are you going to do? What do you have to tell us that's new or urgent? You know, we could not just rest on sort of referencing the original because you're not going to top that.
Yeah.
So we, you know, as part of it, people are like, oh, were you scared to go off in this new direction? We had to. Well, we would say in the room, I mean, all these details are different and, you know, the storylines are different. The love is the same. That's all you had to keep. This family loved each other.
Okay.
This cast is great. I mean, part of why it is natural is because Akira and Coco and Cassie and Adrian and Ali and Jabari are wonderful and love being around each other. It might be one of the silver linings of COVID is that they've been in a bubble together. Because they it's the weekend, who can you trust to hang out with except the other people you've tested with on stage?
So that's real.
They got closer than a cast might normally get.
Oh, man. Akira's like, yeah, once I tested negative, I was not finna hit them streets, you know? everybody sticking to their bubble and doing what they had to do. I'm sure that brought the cast closer together. And again, it completely shows through on the Bel Air broadcast itself. The cast just seems like they are such a tight-knit group, both on screen and off. And I cannot wait to see what y'all do next week. I want to ask you for spoilers. I know you're not going to give us none, but I want to know. So what can you tell us?
I mean, it's, you know, we've been telling a story in which there's been family secrets sort of underneath everything. And it's got to be addressed. It's got to be addressed in the finale.
Well, that's just mysterious enough to be intriguing, Rashid. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Once again, what an incredible conversation we've had with cast members, people associated with the show. Thank you so much again, Akira and Rashid, for joining us on the Bel Air podcast. Next week, as season one comes to a close, we'll look back at highlights from the season with Co-Shunrunner. I know! I can't believe it! I feel like you knew this before I did. But season one is coming to a close next week, and we will have TJ Brady and Rashid back. Plus, find out what we can expect from season two. That's right, girl. We got renewed. Ew.
Make sure that you check out the final episode of Bel-Air Season 1 streaming on Peacock next Thursday, and come back to the podcast on Friday to hear more stuff.
Bel-Air, the official podcast, is produced by iHeart Podcast Network and Peacock.
This show is hosted by me, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
And by me, Crystal West.
Supervising producer, Mike Coscarelli.
Producer and mastering engineer, Bahid Frazier.
Executive producers from iHeart are Nikki Etor, Anna Stumpf, and Miles Gray.
Executive producers from Peacock are Lindsay Vogelman and Amber Ferguson.
And special thanks to Will Pearson from iHeart and Michael Scoggin from Peacock.